Here on January 10th, 2011, it's the CBSSports.com Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Adam Azer, Sergio Gonzalez. Sergio, what's up?
Not much. A little news about a potential deal in the NBA.
Yes.
Other than that, not much.
Making headlines. Carmelo Anthony. What do Carmelo Anthony owners need to know? As now we have seen reports from all over the place about this potential deal, and it could go down sometime this week. It could not go down at all, perhaps. We don't know just yet. But if you own Carmelo Anthony, what should you be thinking right now?
You should be thinking that a deal is a possibility, but I am not to the of the belief right now that a deal is going to get done. Personally, I think this mega deal that includes three teams, up to 14 or 15 players, has too many moving parts for it to work smoothly. What we're seeing already now in the second full day since this deal has been leaked is that players like Al Harrington and much lesser players than Carmelo Anthony are holding things up. So, yes, I'd be concerned, but not to the point that I'd sit him at any point. I'm actually starting him in a lot of my leagues this week. One of the things he said when asked on Monday in Denver Nuggets practice, yes, he did practice with the Denver Nuggets. He's still a member of the Denver Nuggets, was that he doesn't think something's going to happen within the week. So he's not too concerned about it. Obviously, he knows more than we do. He knows more than even the beat writers that are talking left and right. So if he's not too concerned about it, I'm not too concerned about it. Anywhere that Carmelo Anthony is going to go, his value is going to come with him. He's going to be the guy in New Jersey. He's going to be the guy in New York if that were to happen this year or next year. He's going to be the guy in Denver if he stays there. So if I own Carmelo Anthony, I'm not overly concerned.
What if you own Rip Hamilton? That's a name
that's
been rumored.
Absolutely.
Now, you'd got to think his value would go up, right? I mean, because he's not playing for anything right now. And if he does go somewhere with Carmelo Anthony, maybe that revives him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a chance to buy low on Rip Hamilton, he might be on the waiver wire in your league. He's been discarded in a lot of leagues. Or if you just talk to the owner who has him and really give him – try to invest and buy low on him. He's a player who I anticipate in New Jersey or wherever he might go definitely seeing with the change in scenario scenery, more shot attempts, playing with a chip on his shoulder. I expect him to see increased value. Another player I expect to see increase his fantasy appeal is Troy Murphy, because he's a player who could go from not playing at all for the New Jersey Nets to playing big minutes for Detroit or wherever he ends up. And he's a player that last season averaged 14 points and 10 rebounds per game. So he's really one of those players that has dormant value. Like you mentioned, Rip Hamilton is one of them, but also Troy Murphy, two players that fantasy owners should look to buy low on.
Yeah, but also remember, Sergio doesn't necessarily think this deal is actually going to happen.
Correct.
So you know, these are scenarios, if you think it's going to happen,
right,
then Rip Hamilton, Troy Murphy, those are guys you should look
right
at.
And even if I don't think it's going to happen, but just the prospect of it, and obviously this deal is further along than any of the rumored deals that we've seen to this point, it's far along enough that you should stash him just in the hopes that it gets past that little final hurdle that is holding it up right now.
Should Kenyon Martin owners, as we move on, expect anything substantial this season? Now he's missed the last two games with more problems in his surgically repaired knee, and you're getting frustrated here if you own him.
Yeah, I understand the frustration. Obviously, he hasn't given fantasy owners anything to date because of the injury, but give him a little bit of time to get his playing legs back under him, to see what happens in Denver with this potential deal, and see exactly, once the dust settles, what the situation is with Kenyon Martin. Last season, when he was healthy, he averaged around 11 points and 9 rebounds per game. So that's not something to sneeze at and something worth your patience.
Sure.
He's a player that, given the playing time that he could get once he is healthy, will be valuable at some point. So I do think he still has plenty to offer. It might be a month from now. It might be 2 weeks from now. It might be 2 months from now. But at some point, Kenyon Martin is going to be a player worth starting across the board.
How about Corey Maggette? Corey Maggette has scored over 20 points in two of his last three games. I believe we buried him on this podcast a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But Corey Maggette is alive.
He's
Sergio.
Back. He's back, at least for now, in the short term. He's a player who also was one of the players who didn't benefit from being moved from Golden State to Milwaukee. Obviously, he was going to lose a lot of shot attempts just by going to Milwaukee, but he also has been placed in a restricted role so far this season. Lately, in the last couple games, he's had a couple 20-point games, but we're still seeing him be inconsistent. And what we have seen with the Milwaukee Bucks is a lot of similar players get with Chris Douglas Roberts, Corey Maggette, and when Carlos Delfino gets back in there, there's not a guy who's emerged from that bunch to step up and just kind of take a firm grip over the role. And until we see that happen, we're going to see a lot more up and down performances like we've seen from Corey Maggette and Chris Douglas Roberts.
Now that we've seen Deshaun Stevenson in action for more than a week since Caron Butler has been declared out for the season, what are your thoughts on him? He just had a really big game.
Yeah, he's been spectacular. The only thing that concerns me is that it's not just the absence of Caron Butler. Sean Marion is another player who stepped up here, and he's also in kind of the similar mix. Dirk Nowitzki's also been out.
Right.
He's missed about 7 games now. His specter is looming. He could be back at any point this week. He could be back as soon as the team's next game. He could miss another week. He's out indefinitely right now, and there's really no determining when he'll be back. But when he does come back, it's going to be interesting to see who takes the bigger hit. Is it going to be Sean Marion? Is it going to be Deshaun Stevenson? I think it'll be both players to some extent, but I think what Deshaun Stevenson offers from a perimeter shooting standpoint will allow him to remain valuable as a double-digit scorer.
Okay. Well, that's a great segue as we will start looking at the injuries now, and we'll start with Dirk Nowitzki as, again, we record this on Monday, January 10th. Getting ready for the national championship game. Very fired up for that, by the way. But Dirk Nowitzki still out with that knee injury, so as we go into this week, are we going to see him this week?
You know what? I just alluded to it. Right now, it's a day-to-day thing. Coach Carlisle was asked about it at practice this morning, and he seemed frustrated by the question, by the repeated questions from the beat writers in Dallas. He's frustrated. Dirk Nowitzki's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated, which leads me to believe that he's still at least another couple games away. He's technically not ruled out for Wednesday's game, but I wouldn't start him in any weekly format at this point. Last week, at the beginning of the scoring period, he said he would hope to have returned by the weekend. That obviously wasn't the case. Right now, he's not even making that kind of a guess for this scoring period. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him miss another few games.
Kobe Bryant, bone on bone practically in his knee. He's got very little cartilage left now. Of course, this isn't new to the NBA. This does happen. But it was kind of alarming to read that report about Kobe, how he hadn't been practicing earlier this year. And he's got this knee injury, so Kobe Bryant fans, if they're freaking out right now, what does Sergio Gonzalez say?
Don't freak out, because obviously anytime Kobe Bryant is on the injury report, you're going to panic a little bit. But he's going to continue to play on. He left the team's last game with an ice pack on his knee. And Coach Phil Jackson said today that the reason he sat him out is because he planned on doing this anyway. He planned on giving him the veteran treatment and sitting him out from time to time. He hadn't been doing that recently because he felt that the team needed to gel in practices because of their recent struggles. He thinks they're beyond that at this point, and it's going to be more of what he planned on doing earlier, him sitting him out from time to time in practice. He does have a knee issue, but we've seen with Kobe in the past, he's had finger issues, he's had knee problems, he's had this, he's had that, and he's always been able to put up numbers as long as he's on the court. So until you hear Kobe is doubtful or even questionable for a game, I wouldn't be overly concerned.
How about Michael Beasley? He hurt his ankle, hobbled off the court. Is this serious?
It is serious in that it looked pretty serious on Sunday when it happened. He had to be taken to the locker room. He didn't return. We did hear from Minnesota that he could have come back in that game. He didn't, though, so that's something to be concerned about. There were some conflicting reports out of Minnesota today. Initially, the team's official Twitter feed tweeted that he did practice. They corrected themselves and admitted that he did not practice, so he's still day-to-day. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses a game right now, because it's just an ankle that may have swelled up on him from Sunday to Monday. But I don't think it's going to be a long-term issue.
What about Andrew Bogut? Andrew Bogut's ill, but apparently he's feeling better.
Actually, just before we came to do this podcast, he said that he was feeling a lot better, and he expects to play on Tuesday. Now, what fantasy owners have to keep in mind, not just if you own Bogut, but also if you own any Bucks players or Atlanta Hawks players, is that game on Tuesday in Atlanta is in question. Both teams are in the city, and that's obviously a requirement for an NBA game for two NBA teams to be there.
No, I don't think they can play via Skype yet.
No, not yet.
We haven't quite reached that.
That would
level.
Be interesting. But what the Hawks are saying is that they're going to have to see what the situation is tomorrow in terms of travel for commuters and for fans potentially going to the game. We saw it earlier this season in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles, with that game getting snowed out. It could be a similar situation this year for the Bucks and the Hawks. They're not going to know until possibly Tuesday afternoon, and fantasy owners are going to have to take a wait-and-see approach. Obviously, as soon as anything happens, we'll have the news on CBSSports.com.
So coming up right now on this little show here, I want to look at some of the younger players around the league who are getting some more minutes or maybe not necessarily either doing well or doing kind of poorly, people you need to keep on your radar, and then we'll look at three of the most traded players in CBSSports.com leagues and assess their trade value. So let's start out with some of the youngsters. And Gerald Henderson. Now, I know Gerald Wallace is out, but Gerald Henderson coming off a big game for Charlotte, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks. Does he have any value? How is it going to change when Gerald Wallace comes back? This is clearly a product of Paul Silas taking over for Larry Brown and letting the youngster go wild.
Yeah, like you mentioned, as soon as Gerald Wallace comes back, I think he completely falls off the face of the earth.
You think so?
Yeah. I do think he'll play enough that he'll still give you some cheap rebounds for deeper category leagues, but he's not going to play enough with Gerald Wallace to put up any of the scoring numbers that he has. When Gerald Wallace is there, he's going to take up a lot of the touches in the paint. Nazem Muhammad being hurt might create a situation where he could still siphon some minutes up front, but I think Gerald, he's one of those players that you add in the short term, make the most of it for a scoring period or so, because I do think Gerald Wallace might be out for a few more games, but I wouldn't count on him long term in any league.
Tyler Hansbrough, our number one most added player. He's owned in 48% of leagues now, only being started in 16%, but he's been getting some minutes lately, and Tyler Hansbrough has been pretty solid for those Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, he's one of those players that is in a mix of several like options in Indiana. Earlier this season, we saw Josh McRoberts. The Pacers have tried several different things at power forward and haven't really found the key. In the last couple games, we've seen Tyler step up. He had 23 points and 12 rebounds on January 7th against the Spurs, followed that up with 10 points and 5 rebounds against the Hawks. But his playing time, even in those two games, was erratic. He had 36 minutes against the Spurs, 23 minutes in the next game. He had 19 shots against the Spurs. He had 7 shots against the Hawks. So I expect more inconsistency. He's a workhorse, and there's no doubt about that. Part of what made him so great when he was in college is his effort on the glass. But
part of what made him so great was the fact that he got to the free throw line about 50 times a game, and he's not going to do
that.
He's not.
You're absolutely right.
I never really thought he was going to be anywhere near what he was in college.
You're absolutely right about that. He's definitely not the player. Some of what you're seeing in him being the most added player in fantasy leagues isn't just this production. It's, oh my gosh, that's Tyler Hansbrough. That's the guy who was tearing it up when he was in college. That's not the guy that you're going to get at the NBA level. The Pacers don't see him as an everyday primary power forward. And the only reason that he's playing right now is because of the fact that nobody's really stepped up in Indiana in terms of being that primary power forward. He'll get a chance, but I think eventually he's going to fade away.
Wesley Johnson is owned in 39% of leagues, and he has been a pretty disappointing rookie. I don't know. I hear talk about him being one of the better rookies, but that's kind of a reflection of just how horrible this rookie class is.
It's been horrible.
Yeah, it is awful. Would you hold out hope on Wesley Johnson, or would you just cut bait with him?
It depends on what format I'm in. If I'm in a seasonal league, I don't have much interest in him. I don't think if he can't produce in the system that he's in Minnesota to this point, he's not going to be able to produce at any point this season. If you're in a keeper league, obviously, he's a player that two or three years down the line, I think, is going to grow into his – he's a very young, raw player athletically, physically. He's a player who still has to do some growing and really some bulking up to play the position that he plays. Really, in seasonal formats, I don't anticipate him playing more than 20 to 25 minutes, even on an inconsistent basis. I don't foresee him being a fantasy option at any point.
And Johnny Flynn, as we stay with Minnesota, owned in 59% of leagues, which kind of caught me off guard. Is there any reason to own him?
He's over-owned, yes, but he is worth it. He's worth your patience, and he is worth stashing in deeper leagues where roster space is available. Last season, he averaged around 14 points and 6 assists per game. Flynn isn't there yet physically. Luke Ridnour is kind of holding him off with his own play, and Flynn isn't yet at the level physically that he can play more than 20 minutes per game. Once that does happen, and we're probably talking somewhere after the All-Star break in mid-February, Flynn is a player who could creep back into the role that he had last year. And 14 points and 6 assists per game with decent numbers on in some of the other fringe stats is worth stashing.
Okay. whatever. Most traded players, we'll give you three. Number one is Kobe Bryant, but we'll look at 2, 3, and 4. Number two is Luis Scola, who's having a very good year. Scola, let me get your thoughts on this trade here. Scola and Andre Miller for Mayo and Amare Stoudemire. Scola and Andre Miller for Mayo and Stoudemire.
Well, you're talking about getting Amare Stoudemire, one of the premier forwards in all fantasy hoops. Scola has been great, but he's not to the level of Stoudemire. I would do that deal. Andre Miller has been good, not great. Brandon Roy being out is going to create a situation where he could increase his value, but we haven't seen that yet. I would want Amare Stoudemire enough to trade Scola, yes.
Scola and Miller, that's a good trade to get Mayo and Stoudemire. What if you are owning Luis Scola and you traded him for Tyreek Evans?
If I'm not in a keeper league, yeah, I would do that. Tyreek Evans is a potential to be shut down at any point. He's dealing with an ankle injury now to go to the plantar fasciitis. You're talking about a player who may not be there in a couple weeks, so I would definitely get the sure thing in Scola.
Oh, no, so you're saying you would not do this, because we're saying if you own Scola, would you trade him for Evans?
Correct. I'm sorry. I would rather have Scola.
If you own Scola, would you trade him for Emeka Okafor?
That's interesting. I do value centers. I give them a little bit of extra weight because of this, how scarce they are. But I think Scola's value in terms of a double-double per night, and he can be a better scorer than Okafor, I'd rather have Scola.
By the way, speaking of Okafor, I did an NBA podcast earlier today, and Greg Urbano and I filled out our all-star rosters. Do you have any idea how bad the centers in the West are? Because they don't have Pau Gasol,
right,
and they don't have Tim Duncan, who is not an all-star in my opinion anyway.
Right.
But it's like Nene, Okafor, Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
I mean, the center, Camby.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason.
Nene is my starting center.
If you look at it last year, who was their starting center? It was a guy who actually isn't even a center. They started Amare Stoudemire at center last year. So it's been a couple years now with Yao Ming going down.
And, oh, well, he's still leading the
field. And yeah, right. Yao Ming technically is your starter in the Western Conference. Yeah, with Yao Ming going down there and Shaq leaving the scene, nobody's really been able to step up out West. And that used to be the big man conference, and right now it really isn't.
By the way, I had Derrick Rose as my starting point guard in the East, and he had Rajon Rondo.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and Ken Berger agreed with Greg.
He agreed
NBA
with Greg?
Columnist. He said it should be Rondo.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy. It should be Rose.
I agree. No, I actually agree with you.
Thank you.
The fact that he's got Ken Berger agreeing with him, and
you
got me
hurts.
Agreeing with you,
that hurts.
That does hurt you.
But
your stomach.
Just went head-to-head like 2 days ago, and Rose schooled him.
Absolutely. I think what Rose offers in a package as – almost as good of a distributor as Rondo is. Rondo's obviously doing crazy things in terms of assists this year. But he's not too far behind Rose in terms of giving you like around 9 or 10 assists per game. But then you add what he does as a scorer.
Rose,
he
yeah.
can set other people up and also take on the game, put the game on his shoulders as a scorer himself. Rondo can't do that.
No, and I think what people overlook is that one of the reasons why Rondo's assist totals are so high is because he's hardly ever looking to score.
Right. He's a pass-first guy.
Yeah.
So it's impressive.
He's pass-first, pass-second. He just doesn't want to score.
Right.
Rose has to score.
Absolutely. So it's impressive that Rose is up there in terms of assists when he's this good of a scorer. So
yes.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
Now, for those listeners out there who haven't got a chance to listen to these podcasts with Urbano and Azer, I was lucky enough to be a part of a couple of them last year. There's some really good stuff in there.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
We talked about one of the suits that Clyde Frazier wore last week and compared it to Craig Sager.
And you guys get Ken Berger on there from time to time?
We have either a blogger or we have Ken Berger with starting five questions for one of our writers every show.
That's good stuff,
on
guys.
Mondays. Number three, back to the most traded list, Brook Lopez. This guy is not even getting 6 rebounds per game. That stuns me. Brook Lopez and Drew Holiday for Russell Westbrook.
Brook Lopez, Jrue Holiday for Russell Westbrook. You got to take Russell Westbrook there, yeah. especially if you're in a category league with what Russell Westbrook is doing across the board right now. He is a spectacular rotisserie option. I'm not completely down on Brook Lopez to the point that I think he's a player to just trade away, but you're talking about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Brook Lopez for Al Jefferson.
Ooh, straight up give me Al Jefferson.
Brook Lopez for Jose Calderon and JaVale McGee.
So you're doing Lopez and Calderon for –
No. You're doing Lopez and you're getting Calderon and McGee.
Oh. Ooh. I don't think McGee is quite there yet. Lopez can still do enough as a scorer, and I expect him to improve as a rebounder, that I'd still want Lopez.
Let's talk about Lopez and how he could be affected if the Nets swing this deal and get Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups and Richard Hamilton. Or let's just say they just get Carmelo Anthony.
Sure. You know, I think the fact that he won't be carrying quite as much of the offensive burden for the Nets will help him. The fact that he's received a lot more attention defensively this season than he did at any point last season when he had that breakout season, and he hasn't been able to adjust to it. Add Carmelo Anthony to the mix, and all of a sudden things get free for Brook Lopez down low, and he's going to be able to take advantage of it like he did last year, where he looked like a potential 20-point-per-game scorer. I think if Carmelo Anthony comes in, I think he can get back to that. Rebounding is something that he's kind of been at ends with Coach Avery Johnson with. I think eventually if they deal a guy like Derek Favors, it's going to create a situation where he's going to have to step it up front. So I only expect that to continue to improve. If you add Carmelo Anthony, you're talking about potentially a 20 and maybe 8 or 9 rebound guy. Down the line.
Brook Lopez.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah, no, he's got the talent. We've seen it.
I'm more confident in the 20 points per game than I am the eight or nine rebounds, but it's potential.
Okay. Number four is Tim Duncan, who, by the way, if he makes the All-Star team, I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah.
The power forwards out in the Western Conference are just ridiculous. And what bothers me is that he plays center every night, and he's on the ballot as a forward.
Are you discounting Dirk Nowitzki?
No, Dirk's a starter.
Right.
And then you've got guys.
Oh, you're saying the depth.
They're awesome. Yeah. They're just loaded. Tim Duncan's way down on the list, but he is our number four most traded player in CBSSports.com leagues. Tim Duncan and Danilo Gallinari for Dirk Nowitzki.
Tim Duncan and Danilo Gallinari, and you get Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes.
I think you have to do this. Danilo has been solid. He's a good mid-teen scorer to occasionally give you. He can occasionally get into the 20-point range, but he's not consistently there. He's been banged up. Duncan, we know what his limitations have been this year. Dirk Nowitzki is banged up right now, but he's going to be back probably within the next couple of weeks, definitely within the next couple of weeks, probably within the next week. Dirk Nowitzki, when he's there and all things are even right now, he could probably outscore both of those guys in a scoring period.
Tim Duncan and Jason Kidd for Jeff Green and Rajon Rondo. Duncan and Kidd. You get Jeff Green and Rajon Rondo.
Two old guys who used to be fantasy studs for two guys who are on the rise. Jeff Green isn't quite there. I'd still rather have Jason Kidd than Jeff Green, for instance. But Jason Kidd, Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo is what Jason Kidd used to be.
Right.
You're definitely winning with Rajon Rondo there. Jeff Green hopes to be what Tim Duncan used to be, or even what he is right now, because Jeff Green has kind of stagnated, and he's kind of a toss-up with Tim Duncan right now. So I think right now the Rondo for Kidd's side of that pushes that the scales in this deal.
Tim Duncan for Darrell Wright.
Tim Duncan for Darrell Wright. Well, that's interesting. Darrell Wright has been a stud this season for the Golden State Warriors. The fact that he's asked to take 15 to 20 shots per game in that system, almost on a consistent basis, when Tim Duncan is seeing 7 shots one night and then 13 the next, I'm going to go with the more consistent option in Darrell Wright. That hurts to say, really.
Isn't that ridiculous? Tim Duncan for Darrell Wright,
and I'd rather have Darrell Wright in the fantasy league.
It's also getting to the point where I think the Spurs are going to be unsuccessful until Tim Duncan can start playing better basketball.
Really?
Not just once every 3 or 4 games.
Really?
I don't see how they get to the playoffs with him, because I've been watching a lot of Spurs games. I've watched like 4 of their last 5 games, and he's just a shell of himself. They don't have to double team him anymore.
Well, don't you think they're kind of holding him back a little bit?
You know, I think that's possible, but at the same time, he's missing shots that he used to make.
Yes.
He doesn't command the attention. You know, you could throw the ball into Tim Duncan in the post and run the entire offense through him.
You
get the double teams, and he would set up other guys. That just doesn't happen as much anymore.
No, you're right. But I do think that they have big picture goals in mind right now. And what they're trying to do is get through the regular season as healthy and as potent as possible, so that once the playoffs come, it's going to be the old Spurs again, where they're going to be going through Tim Duncan. Now, it does concern me that you think he can't do it anymore.
I don't necessarily think that he can't do it. There's definitely a chance that he could flip the switch and start producing again once the playoffs come around or the big games come around. But I'm a little bit alarmed at how bad he's been on some nights.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, the numbers are there. He went several games in a row scoring in single digits and not doing much offensively at all. So it's definitely a different Tim Duncan.
Yeah. That's all I got for you, Sergio.
That's all right. I think we did a Thursday. Pretty good job.
Yeah, we went a little bit off the fantasy scope. And, you know, it's hard to keep us from just talking hoops. But Thursday, most added, most dropped, and much, much more for you. We will help you set your lineups for next fantasy week.
And I'll bring some tweets and emails with
you. Yes. Tweet him.
I guarantee you I will bring
him. At CBS Gonzalez, GONZALEZ, and send us an email, DM fantasyhoops@cbs.com. D is in Darko, M is in Milicic. fantasyhoops@cbs.com. Follow us on Twitter @CBS Fantasy News. For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Adam Azer. Have a good one, everybody.